Welcome to Rapidly Rotating Records, an hour of toe-tapping music from rapidly rotating 78 RPM records of the 1920s and 30s, with yours truly, Glenn Robison. We've got dance bands, hot bands, sweet bands, show tunes, novelty tunes, blues, jazz, and more, on everything from Aeolian to Xenophone, and by everyone from Aronson to Zerky. On this evening's show, we're going to hear from some ragamuffins, wield a hammer, go into battle, build a love nest, and play some unfortunate songs. The word ragamuffin originated from Middle English in the middle of the 14th century and describes a shabbily dressed, often dirty child. Now, last week I played Blue Idol by the Anglo-Persians, and here they are again to start off a set about ragamuffins.
Thank you.
We began that Ragamuffin set with the Anglo-Persians and Ragamuffin from March of 1929. If you were listening last week, you know all about the Anglo-Persians, and if you weren't listening last week, well, why not? But if you weren't, last week's show, as well as all the shows for the past several months, are available anytime at all, not just Sunday evenings at 6 on KISL, but streaming online at rapidlyrotatingrecords.com. And I'm working on getting every show posted and available online. Ragamuffin was composed by Jesse Greer, who also brought us You May Not Like It, But It's a Great Idea, and was also recorded by Rudy Sarita and Victor Arden and Phil Oman. The Anglo-Persians were followed by Willie Jones and his orchestra and Ragamuffin Stomp, one of just three sides the band recorded, all in a session in Richmond, Indiana on November 1, 1927. Drummer Willie S. Jones was from Fort Wayne, Indiana. Ragamuffin Stomp was composed by Byron Gay, and coincidentally, the reed man and director of the band was Leonard Gay, no relation. Willie Jones's might be the only recording of Ragamuffin Stomp. I couldn't find any others. Ragamuffin Romeo, on the other hand, which we heard next by Nat Shulkert and the Victor Orchestra, was also recorded by Jack Albin, Jesse Stafford, and Paul Whiteman, all in 1930. Shulkert's record was born May 12, 1930, and Ragamuffin Romeo was written by Harry DaCosta and Mabel Wayne. We finished up with Adam's Apple, recorded by Paramount in Chicago on July 26, 1926. So what does Adam's Apple have to do with Ragamuffins? Well, it was performed there by Jimmy Blythe and his Ragamuffins, the Ragamuffins being Freddie Keppard on cornet, Johnny Dodds on clarinet and alto sax, an unidentified trombonist, and Jasper Taylor on washboard. Jimmy Blythe played piano. I'm Glenn Robison, and you're listening to Rapidly Rotating Records, bringing you vintage music to which you can't not tap your toes from rapidly rotating 78 RPM records of the 1920s and 30s. You're all no doubt familiar with the Peter, Paul, and Mary song, If I Had a Hammer. Well, I'm not going to play that, but I do have some rapidly rotating records about hammers, beginning with the Williamson Brothers and Curry.
John Henry told his captain, man ain't nothing but a man. Before I be beaten by this old sea breeze,
what a love with my hammer in my hand. What a love with my hammer in my
John Henry told his captain, Captain, how can it be? The big Ben tunnel on the tin of gold,
gonna be the last of me, Lord, no. Gonna be the last of me.
John Henry had a little hammer, panel. John Henry told his shaker, Shaker, you better pray. For if I miss this six foot steel,
tomorrow be a burying day.
Tomorrow be a burying day. John Henry had but one lonely son.
driving man.
John Henry had a little woman, her name was Sally Ann. John Henry got sick and he could not work. Sally drove the steed like a man. Sally drove the steed like a man.
Hit you with all his might. You can bet your boots and your Sunday suits you got a little tight. When the little man with the hammer starts to reorganize your head, then there ain't no pills gonna cure your ills. You might as well be dead. When it's after one and you're having fun, you never give a hang. But I bet you say at break of day, here come the British with bang, bang. It's the little man with the hammer, always trying to pick a fight. So it's lift your cup with the bottoms up, we'll wear him out tonight.
Frank Blevins and his Tar Heel Rattlers with Nine Pound Hammer, an old work song associated with both mining and railroads. Frank Blevins was born in 1911 in Ashe County, North Carolina. His father was an accomplished fiddler, and by age six, Frank was teaching himself to play. Frank's older brother, Ed, spelled with two D's, played guitar and was his constant companion. The brothers played old-time mountain songs at local dances and school events and were joined by a neighbor, Fred Miller, who played banjo. In 1927, the trio auditioned for a talent scout from the Columbia Phonograph Company, and in November they traveled to Atlanta to record. When they got there, the name Frank Blevins and his Tar Heel Rattlers was assigned to the group, and they recorded four tunes. They returned to Atlanta on April 17, 1928, where they recorded Don't Get Trouble in Your Mind and Nine Pound Hammer, with the vocal by Frank and Ed. Before Nine Pound Hammer, it was the Casa Loma Orchestra with a vocal by Pee Wee Hunt and the Little Man with the Hammer. That Decca 78 was made February 6, 1935. We began that Hammer set with the Williams Brothers and Curry with Gonna Die With My Hammer in My Hand, a variation on the folk song John Henry. Arnold Williamson, who played fiddle, and his brother Irvin, who played guitar, were from Logan County, West Virginia, and made six sides in the 20s for OK with a banjo player about whom we know absolutely nothing, other than he was identified as Curry. In looking for Hammer songs for this set, I came across one by the Carlisle Brothers, which I so wanted to play, but it's from 1945. It is on YouTube, however, if you're interested. It's called Maggie Get the Hammer, There's a Fly on the Baby's Head.
What?
I don't know. Rapidly Rotating Records is now on Facebook. If you're already on Facebook, simply enter Rapidly Rotating Records in the Facebook search box in the upper right-hand portion of the screen, and the link to our fan page will appear in a drop-down box. If you're not already a member of Facebook, you can find a link to the public fan page at our website, www.rapidlyrotatingrecords.com. I hope you'll check it out and become a Facebook fan of the show. For this segment, for no particular reason, we're going to do battle. Here are Jabbo Smith's Rhythm Aces. Thank you.
They talk about men of soul, but none like good old Jop. At the Battle of Jericho, that monster
with Duke Ellington on piano, maybe. That was Wilbur Sweatman and his Acme Syncopators with Battleship Kate from February 23rd, 1924. Nearly a year later, in November, Sweatman also recorded Battleship Kate with his dance band Wilbur Sweatman's Brownies for Edison, and he recorded it a number of other times, including a cha-cha version in the 50s. That was one of only two sides the Brownies recorded and the only one that was issued. Sweatman composed Battleship Kate, and there are lyrics which were written by Ada Reeves, who also wrote the words to What Would You Do for Love's Sweet Sake, composed by Alfred Salmon, and How Does It Feel, with the tune by William G. Still. Before Wilbur Sweatman, it was Spike Hughes and his dance band and their version of Joshua Fit the Battle of Jericho. The vocalist on that Decca recording, made around April 10, 1931, was Joey Shields. The BBC took offense at Spike's hot arrangement of that traditional spiritual and banned its broadcast. Before Spike Hughes, Mike Bernard painted a musical picture of Teddy Roosevelt's skirmish in the Spanish-American War in Cuba with a piano solo titled Battle of San Juan Hill. Mike Bernard's real last name was Barnett, and he was a headliner in vaudeville, billed as the ragtime king of the world. And that is some fast and furious piano playing there. That Columbia 78 was recorded on December 2, 1912. And we began that Battle of the Bands with Jabbo Smith's Rhythm Aces and Jazz Battle, Smith's own composition, recorded in Chicago on January 29, 1929. Trumpeter Cladys, C-L-A-D-Y-S, Jabbo Smith, was born in 1908 in Pembroke, Georgia, and raised in an orphanage in Charleston, South Carolina. By age 16, he was a professional musician, and at 17 was a member of Charlie Johnson's Paradise Band. He formed his quintet, the Rhythm Aces, at the request of Mayo Williams of the Brunswick Record Company in their effort to compete with Louis Armstrong, and between January and August of 1929, they recorded 20 sides, 19 of which were issued. Jabbo Smith died in 1991 at age 82. I'm Glenn Robison, and the show is Rapidly Rotating Records. We're here each and every Sunday evening at 6 on KISL FM, 88.7 Avalon, in New Zealand on the Wellsford Country Radio Network, 105.8 FM, and available on demand anytime at all online at rapidlyrotatingrecords.com and on iTunes as a podcast. A couple of weeks ago, I mentioned In a Little Love Nest Way Up on the Hill, written by Johnny Tucker, Joe Shuster, and John Cyrus. That was actually recorded by Bob Herring as the Dan Ritchie Orchestra in 1928, but unfortunately I don't have that record. Before I came upon that title, the only other Love Nest song I probably could have named off the top of my head was The Love Nest, George Burns and Gracie Allen's theme song, written by Lewis Hirsch. But I've managed to put together a whole segment of Love Nest songs without even including The Love Nest. Here's Nathan Glantz. Thank you.
Thank you.
The high-headed tragedian of song, Ted Lewis, without Ted's usual catchphrases and talking singing vocal style, and we'll build a dear little cute little love nest some sweet day, recorded May 19th, 1922. That was written by Harry T. Hanbury and Tulsa Leason, L-E-A-S-O-N, who also brought us Sunshine Alley. On his own, Harry Hanbury wrote Forget Me Not Means Remember Me, but I couldn't find anything else written by Tulsa Leason. There's an advertisement in a 1920 issue of Variety for Ray H. Leason vaudeville attractions and Tulsa Leason industrial musical comedies, offering that they're prepared to produce anything theatrical. And she's mentioned in the July 1, 1921 edition of Burlesque magazine as working with the costume production designer, Madame Heverstick. Now I just dare you to find another vintage music radio program anywhere on the planet where you're going to hear Tulsa Leason's name mentioned, other than right here on Rapidly Rotating Records. Before Ted Lewis, it was Tal Henry's North Carolinians, and I'd Trade My Air Castles for a Love Nest and You, from May 22, 1928. I'd Trade My Air Castles was written by Sonny Clapp and T.J. McWilliams. Talmadge Allen Henry was born July 10, 1898, in Maysville, Georgia. He graduated from the Shenandoah Conservatory of Music and at age 21 began playing with the Frank Hood Band in Greensboro, North Carolina. In 1924, Henry took over the band and changed its name to Tal Henry and his North Carolinians Orchestra. In 1928, the orchestra made two Vitaphone shorts and became nationally famous, and it was the Tal Henry Orchestra that accompanied many of the acts trying out for Major Bowes' Amateur Hour radio show. Tal Henry died August 17, 1967. We began that Love Nest set with Nathan Glantz and his orchestra from a Banner 78 waxed January 19, 1929, and Cherry Blossom Love Nest. The vocalist there was Arthur Fields.
Doing our part to keep alive the music of the 1920s and 30s, this is Rapidly Rotating Records, Sunday evenings at 6 on KISL-FM 88.7 Avalon, and available anytime on demand online at rapidlyrotatingrecords.com.
Two weeks ago, I mentioned that Fred Hamm co-wrote Hangin' Around. We had a whole Fred Hamm segment, and this week he gets mentioned again as co-composer with Henry Winston of Unfortunate Blues. Unfortunate Blues was recorded by Ted Lewis, Ladd's Black Aces, Sam Lennon's Jazz Band, the Boston Orchestra, the original Pennsylvania Serenaders led by Whitey Kaufman, and this group.
killing those three cards he was held. He's a brave young engineer man at the age of 21. As he stepped out from his engine, crying, well, what have I done? Have I killed my faithful brakeman? Could it be that he will die? Oh, I did my best to save him, but I could not stop in time. See the car with Presley or him, or his mangled body and head. See his sister Bendy or him, crying, brother, are you dead? Dying sister, yes, I'm dying, going to join some better shores. Tell my buddy on the TC that I'll never see no more. Sister, when you see my brother, these few words I'll send to him. Tell him never to venture breaking, if he does, his life will end. Scarcely these few words were spoken till he clasped his hands across his breast, and the spirit all had left him, and his soul had gone to rest.
There's no shortage of vintage songs about train disasters, from the most famous, The Wreck of the Old 97, about the tragedy of the Southern Railway's fast mail train on its fateful run between Monroe, Virginia and Spencer, North Carolina on September 27, 1903, to The Wreck of the 1256, The Wreck of the Virginian, Fate of Chris Lively and Wife, and Wreck of Number 52. We just heard The Unfortunate Brakeman by the Kentucky Ramblers from a Paramount 78 wax September 1st, 1930. And we started this abbreviated unfortunate set with Harold Leonard and his Red Jackets from April of 1924. Violinist Harold Leonard started his recording career with Jeanette in 1922 and switched to OK in 1924. In 1926 and 27, he recorded about two dozen sides for Brunswick and Columbia as Harold Leonard and his Waldorf Astoria Orchestra, and the band also had a short residency in the mid-1920s at the Windsor Hotel, Montreal's finest hotel. Canadian Victor Records credit the Windsor Hotel Orchestra with Harold Leonard and his Red Jackets in smaller type below. Harold Leonard also recorded four sides as a solo violinist in 1926. I'm Glenn Robison, and you've been listening to Rapidly Rotating Records. I hope you'll click in or tune in again next week, and as always, I thank you for your very kind attention.